Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today in the Gospel reading, Jesus tells a parable about the kingdom of God. There is a king who holds a big celebration, a wedding banquet for his son, and he tells his servants to go out and tell everybody who was invited, okay, it's time to come to the feast. But they ignore the servants. They just go back to their daily lives. And so the king, he really wants to have the celebration. He wants them to be there. So he sends out other servants. The feast is ready. Come. They're still ignored. And yet there are some who actually mistreat those servants and even kill some of the servants. What is up with that? And so, understandably, the king is enraged, and this time he sends out soldiers, and they kill those murderers and burn their city. And then the parable shows the picture of the So then he tells his servants to go out to the city, beyond the city, invite everyone you can find. And notice it's both the evil and the good. And now the picture is of the celebration itself. All these people enjoying the glory of the king and the wedding of his son. And when the king goes to check everything out, talk to the people, he finds a person there without wedding clothes and says, "Friend, how did you get in here without wedding clothes?" And the man is speechless. And once again, we see the king acting in anger. And he doesn't just kick him out of the wedding. He casts him out into outer darkness where there is eternal torment. And Jesus closes this parable with a statement that is at times perplexing to people. "For many are called, but few are chosen." So that is the parable. What does it mean? Why did Jesus tell the parable? He tells us the kingdom of God is like this. It's like a king. And we know who that king is. It's God himself. And the one he throws the wedding party for, it's his son, of course, Jesus Christ, the very Son of God. God has all along invited his people over and over and over again to come back to him when they have strayed. And so these servants that are sent out, they are the prophets that we see in the Old Testament. And sadly, while there are some people, some of God's people who went their own way, some of them actually mistreated the prophets and even killed them. And we see clearly here and in the rest of scriptures that sin does not go unpunished. Rather, God does punish those who sin against him with eternal torment. So we see now that what Jesus is doing is showing us what the kingdom of God is like. It is like this king. And then, so we see that God, he wants everybody to be saved, doesn't he? He invites them. The reason that they are not celebrating in the eternal feast of God is because they have rejected it. And what is this eternal feast? It is the picture that God shows us in the Old Testament and then also in the last book of the Bible, Revelation, of the eternal wedding feast of the Son, of Jesus Christ himself. God wants everybody to partake. He wants everybody to celebrate with him. And sadly, many go their own way. They reject the invitation. Then Jesus turns the picture to the wedding celebration itself. And as the king looks out at everybody, there's one person there who does not have on a wedding garment. What is this all about? Clearly, to celebrate that feast, you needed one because of the fact that he didn't have one and was booted out shows that it was necessary. What is this wedding garment? Theologians across the ages have tried to interpret, or rather have interpreted this in many ways. Some have said that it is Christ himself. Some have said that it is repentance. Some have said that it is good works. And it very well could be any of these things. The one I'm drawn to is holy baptism. This is a parable of the kingdom. And how does one enter into the kingdom of God? Jesus says in John chapter 3 that it is through water and the Holy Spirit. As the Apostle Paul says it in Titus chapter 3, through the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Spirit. It is in baptism that we are brought into the kingdom of God and that we actually become royalty. We become sons and daughters of the King, of our great God and Savior. So it is through baptism that we enter the kingdom of God. And there are many ways that the New Testament describes baptism and pictures baptism. One of them is that we are clothed. We are clothed with Christ. We put on the garment of his pure righteousness. And so what a fitting image of the wedding garment for baptism. It is in baptism that we are brought into the eternal feast. In the Old Testament, for the people of God, how was it that they were brought in? It was through circumcision. Circumcision was not something in which God told people that you need to do something in order to become my children. It was not something in which he directed them to give their lives to him. But rather, circumcision was done when the person was 8 days old, while an infant. This was all God's work. And so with baptism. With baptism, we see that it is entirely God's work, that we are brought into the kingdom of God, made his own children. This is the beauty of this parable, of seeing what the kingdom of God is and how God has brought us into it. And our Lord's own interpretation of this is that closing statement, which at times perplexes people, but it doesn't need to be so. For many are called, but few are chosen. What does this mean? Well, many are called. Many are invited. We see this in the parable. We see this in the history of God in the Old Testament, that God wants all people to be saved. Paul says that in 1 Timothy chapter 2. We see this in our Lord Jesus Christ himself, who died on the cross for the sin of the world. God the Father did not say to his Son, I want you to suffer on the cross and atone for the sins of only some people, for only those that I have chosen. But rather, God the Father gave his Son over into death as a sacrifice for the sin of the world. That prompts the Apostle Paul to say in 1 Corinthians 5 that in Christ Jesus, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting people's sins against them. And so we see how our Lord Jesus Christ in this parable is showing this, that the King sent the invitation out far and wide. He wants everybody to be saved. So many are called. But the fact is that not everybody enjoys the eternal celebration. Only a few are chosen. What this does not mean is that God has only chosen a few. As we have already established, he desires that everyone be saved. And as Jesus makes it clear in the parable, that the reason that those who did not enter into the wedding banquet was not because God did not choose them. He went out of his way to invite them and exhort them to come. It was because they rejected it. That is why only a few are chosen. Now we know this. We know that Christ has paid for the sins of the world. It is not through genealogy that anyone is saved. It is not by doing good works that we enter into the kingdom of God. And it is not because we belong to the right church or belong to the right group of people. We are saved by grace. We are saved because of God's work in Christ Jesus. And we know this. We believe it. There are, as we know, many who do not know this. Many who do not believe. We have heard the invitation, and we even now, not in its full glory, but we even now celebrate in this eternal wedding feast of our Lord. And so, what better thing to do than to join in on the inviting? We who have been invited can also invite. So let's tell other people. Let's make known to them who Christ is, that he wants them also to celebrate in the eternal wedding feast. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.